I always ask Sarah, do you want to say anything? Usually it's no, but
I'm just so excited to be back here and see everybody. You guys are such great friends and family. I don't know. I'm just excited to see everybody today. And thank you so much for letting us come back and say hi. That's about all I have to say.
Awesome.
I love you guys. It's awesome. We miss you.
Mike asked me, he's like, are you going to give an update on what you're doing with Convoy? I am, but it's part of the sermon. So we're just going to jump right in to the message. And so turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And I hope I got the, oh, there you go. Hopefully I got the right scripture to Amanda. And I forgot to tell her what version. So if it doesn't look the same up there, just listen to me, okay? Yesterday morning, we were in Minneapolis. Yesterday was Eli. For those of you who've been here a long time, our son Eli turned 21 yesterday. And I was telling Joel and Tim, and I saw the DeBoos and the Vaseth kids come in. I'm like, oh, good Lord, am I getting old? These kids are teenagers. But you guys came in as babies when we were here, and now you're teenagers. I'm like, oh, my. And the gray is filling in. My son John's like, Dad, you're getting so gray. And I said, this here, son, all you. He's like, you have five other kids. I said, this is them. This is you. And someone said, we could dye it. I'm like, no, the Bible says it's a sign of God's righteousness and glory, and I'm embracing it. And it's filling in quickly. Oh, my. It's like Char said, it is so good coming back home because this is home. It is. While we were worshiping, all these memories started flashing through my mind of June 12th, 2005, meeting when Arvin told me, hey, we're gonna meet in Oski. I'm like, Oski? What is Oski? I thought it was a restaurant. And he's like, Oskaloosa. I'm like, oh, okay. And you know, we met at the Peach Ranch, and I got to meet, you know, Eleanor and Irene and Dan. And then I start thinking about all of our family members that have passed. You know, our family, not blood family, but we're family. You know, I was thinking about Irene and Dan and the Smiths, you know, and just all those just dear, precious women and men, and Eunice, and I'm thinking, DeYoung, Carol Sue's mom, Lou Jean, I'm just all these people that were such impactful people in our lives, because we moved 8 hours away from all our family, and that was before you could FaceTime at the, you know, spur of the moment, you know, and it was just so weird for us, and for those of you who've been here that long, you became our family. And we can't thank you enough. Ephesians chapter 1. I haven't changed, so hey. One for me, one for Char. Squirrel. Some things will never change. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 3 and then 15 through 23. I usually don't use a lot of scripture, but yesterday morning, like I said, I was up in Minnesota. God just dropped this on me in a spur of the moment. And so if it's bad, it's me. If it's great, it's God. Right? So I heard wrong if it's bad. But God's word is never bad. Amen? So verse 3, one of my favorite scriptures. It took me so many years to figure this out, and I feel like I have a grasp of it now. But verse 3 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. And then we're going to jump down to verse 15 through 23. This is Paul speaking to the church of Ephesus. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow up in the knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he has called, his holy people who are rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Verse 22, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him the head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ who fills all things everywhere with himself. I want to read 22 again because it's so powerful, so impacting, and it's for us in every church in this world, but it's for us this morning. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him the head of all things for the benefit of the church. Is that not one of the most powerful things the church can cling to today? Right? It is like the church. You know, we are the church. The body of Christ is the church. It doesn't matter what the name on the building is, as long as it is an absolute Jesus preaching, God fearing, Word of God church, it is the church. Here's what recent studies have shown about the church. And I shared this when we first started this mission adventure, but things have changed. And I want to share some new things to you that's really discouraging and it's really sad. And I'm like, I scratch my head daily. In 1937, 73% of Americans were members of a church. That means church in general, all denominations. Yes, even Catholic, Baptist, United Methodist, Wesleyan, Nazarene, all, you know, the church of Jesus Christ, 73% were members, all Americans. Only 27% was not. In 2020, not only has this number changed, but the statement of this has changed as well. 40% of Americans belong to a church, synagogue, or mosque. 47%. So somebody's like, oh, this dropped 26%. It's not horrible. Listen to that statement. Are members of a church, synagogue, or mosque, which means they're members of even the Church of Satan. They can be members of, you know, the witchcraft community, Muslim, Buddhist. This is where they kind of, because we're an all-inclusive nation now. I'm not getting political. I'm just giving you an understanding of what this statement says. So if we're looking at all-inclusive of all people believes that there's a higher power out there, 47% of the people in the United States belong to or are a member of one of those things. And I bet, I'm almost willing to bet, I'm not a betting person anymore. Thank you, Jesus, right? But I'm willing to venture to say that that 47%, that Christianity is less than half of that 47. We are not a Christian nation anymore. We're not. It's sad, but it's the truth. Even if that 47% was like the Christian church, we are not a Christian nation anymore. The church is in trouble. Sadly, the church is in trouble. In 2020, 4,500 churches closed. No exact numbers yet for 21 or 22, which is up from 4,000 from 2019. But the study also showed that in 2019, 3,000 church plants in 2019. Praise the Lord, right? Somewhat. 80% failed, which only leaves 16 open. It's still open 3 years later, 4 years later. So you look at 600 still open compared to three, you know, we're way off. You know, if you're a numbers person, that's 3,900 deficit churches. We pastored it. We left here in New Sharon. We went to Burlington. And when we got to Burlington, I could not believe how many churches there were. There are 73 churches in Burlington for a population of 28,000 people, West Burlington and Burlington. 73 churches. And I've talked to pastors. We have way too many churches. I'm like, you know what? We don't have way too many churches. We have way too many churches not doing what they're told to do. Because the average attendance in those churches is 20. If every church could fill their capacity, the seating capacity of those 73 churches is only 10,000 people. There's 18,000 people not attending church somewhere that does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that town would truly get set on fire by the power of God and people would be getting saved and repentance and being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, every single church would be in a building project. The church is in trouble. Another survey revealed this. 4 out of 5 Americans today believe in a God. 9 out of 10, a little bit different, higher up, says that there is a higher power. Last survey. Barna asked this question to existing pastors near the end of 2020, as they're, you know, somewhat near the end of COVID, right? And they asked them, are you currently considering resigning from the ministry completely and not to return? 42% said yes. 42% of pastors at the end of 2020, beginning of 21, said that they were considering resigning. And then they asked them, if you are, choose out of these lists why. And there could be multiple reasons. Here are the reasons. 56% said, reason being, from immense stress from the job. 43% from feeling lonely and isolated. 38% because of political division within the church. 29% said the negative effect the role has had on the family. 24% church is steadily declining. 21% don't feel respected by the congregation. 19% don't feel equipped to be effective in ministry. Those are just the top 7. There are like 15 others. Pastors are struggling. The church is struggling. Pastors are struggling. Sarah and I have had the privilege now to be in full-time ministry for 23 years. 21 years in pastoring in the churches, and now we're almost 2 years into this mission field, honey. Wow, it's flying. Unbelievable. And we've had this conversation recently, and we look back on everything in our life, how God has just set us up from one thing to the next thing to the next thing for what we are doing today. And I love the scripture in Deuteronomy. It says, "And the Lord," Deuteronomy 31:8, "and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He'll not leave you. He will not forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." There's been some fearful times in ministry. There's been some discouraging times in ministry. There's been some head-scratching times in ministry. But God has always gone before us. When we resigned in Burlington, I actually had people tell me I was making a mistake. I was not supposed to go into the mission field. I had like about 4 families in that church, dearly, dearly loved people, great. It's like, you're making a mistake, Pastor. You're not supposed to stop pastoring. Look what's happened at our church. Our church is healthy again. And I don't know if a lot of you knew what was going on in Burlington when I went there. It was a mess. And it was I won't say it was on the verge of closing, but I mean, it was a mess. You know, pastor adultery, false teaching, possible embezzlement. I mean, just so many different things, that the community thought the church was a cult. That's what we found out about a year in. They were thinking, what are we going to do? Oh, Lord, please, you need to do something. 5.5 years later, when we were preparing for this, and our last Sunday, June 27th of 21 was our last Sunday in Burlington, we had over 350 in the sanctuary. And when we left, 2 of the greatest staff members a pastor could have, Pastor Sean Noel and Pastor Razzie Ragusi, took the mantle, if you want to call that, after we left, and the church kept on growing after we left. Those are 2 anointed men of God that are doing amazing work for Jesus. And they did an amazing job. And so here's what I'm saying. It's like we can look at all the doom and gloom of ministry, of what's going on and what's not going on, but God is on the move for something greater. And we need to be willing to step out and do whatever he asks us to do. I've learned something. Arvin, I learned something. Never tell God a statement that's complacent. Here's why I'm saying this. Because in 2014... And not many people know this, but I'll share this now. Every January 1st, and since I was a lead pastor, I always prayed, God, am I here for another year? And if he said yes, no matter what happened, we plowed through it. Any job offer that came, we turned them down. We turned down a lot. We went through a lot in 10 years, haven't we, Arvin? We did. but great things, right? I mean, God was faithful and amazing. We saw so many great things in those 10 years. And in January of 2015, God said, Scott, it's time to leave. But in going back to 2014, I made a statement when God says, you're here, you know, God, am I leaving? He says, no. I'm like, God, I could retire in New Sharon. A year later, God's like, you're moving. Yeah. January 1st, 2020. Praying that prayer. I'm like, God, I could retire in Burlington. And God says, Scott, you're done pastoring. But you're not leaving Burlington. And we stayed. And God showed us this ministry that we are currently now in. Last year, I gave you an update of what was going on. So I want to give you an update of what happened, because this fits into where we're going. So that scripture I gave you about the church, I hope that's permeating. And God is just doing something in it. Because here is what has happened for us in our ministry for 2022. Convoy of Hope is letting us use a GMC Safari 3500 diesel dually truck. This thing is huge, Arvin. It is mammoth truck. And if I do and then they gave me a 20-foot trailer to haul things with. And when I take that thing to Michigan, because it's diesel, it's a $500 round trip cost. But God is faithful. God's been doing amazing things. And when we got the truck and the trailer, God opened the door for us to rent a warehouse in Burlington, a 4,000 square foot warehouse, which Convoy Hope sends us goods from their warehouse in Springfield to store it in there that we get to supply for local churches. Your church has gotten some of those things, but also I get to take them to other churches where we go all around the Midwest. So we've done that. 2022, I drove 47,000 ministry miles. Now, I don't know, for a truck driver, it's like, oh, that's not much. I'm not a truck driver. That's a lot. That's a lot of miles. And God blessed us with a hybrid car. In, you know, halfway, you know, in the beginning of this ministry, that if I got a good tailwind, we're talking 60 miles a gallon. Thank you, Jesus. Even a headwind, I'll get 45. So it's just phenomenal. So we're blessed with that. That warehouse in 2022, when we opened it up in April of 22, to the end of the year, we distributed over $200,000 worth of goods through that one little warehouse. $200,000. I mean, it's just mind-boggling, right? We worked with a total of 52 churches total. I've had the honor to mentor, coach 20 of those pastors, well over 250 hours mentoring on the phone, Zoom, in person, all kinds of different things. I have preached in 6 different denominations, and are you ready for this? I got to preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit message in the United Methodist Church. Come on, that's... And you want to know something even better? 6 people were filled with the Holy Spirit that day in a UMC church. Now, I've had some AG pastors like, you preached in an AG church. What were you thinking? What does the missions think of that? I'm like, I don't know. And honestly, I don't care. Well, you know what they believe, Scott. I know what they believe, but I know what I believe. And if God gives me an open door to go preach absolute truth into a church and he gives me a word to speak, I'm going to speak it. A lot of times, I probably won't get asked back, but I'm used to that. It's okay. Out of those 52 churches, 21 of those churches, I've talked to the pastors, are now saying they're seeing spiritual growth and numerical growth. They're growing. And in just the last 2 months in 2023, we are overwhelmed what God is doing. I'm like, God, I want to say, God, can you hold down? But I'm afraid to say that because then it might stop. You know, I'm like, God, keep on doing it. Just help me to figure this out. So in the last 2 months, actually just on Monday, we got given a building. We don't own it, but we were given access to a building to open up a warehouse in Michigan. And it's 12,000 square feet, and we can fit at 3 semi-loads of resources in that building. So we can start resourcing in Michigan like we are in Iowa. Because right now, when I go to Michigan, I put it in a trailer and I make that long haul. And it costs, and then it's like it's $500. So it's going to cut costs. So also what has happened, God has connected me with the Michigan Nazarene superintendent, and he wants us to do our workshops, mentor with all of his pastors. All of them. I got a phone call on about a week and a half ago from a gentleman that I met randomly at a Foursquare conference, a pastor's conference. In my first conversation with him, I was just telling him what we do. I couldn't set up a booth. They just told me, I asked him if I could come. He's like, you can come, but you can't set up a booth. I said, could I hand out cards and information? He said, yeah, absolutely. So I go to the church multiplication table for the Foursquare, and I'm talking to this guy who's manning the table, and we have this conversation. I'm telling him what we do. You know, hey, we do our workshops. We tell people how to, do community and give resources, build relationships. And he goes, that sounds really interesting. He goes, I'll give you a call. And that was like first thing in the morning. At lunchtime, I see him sitting at a table with somebody, and there's an open seat. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna jump in and have this conversation a little bit more. So I sit down and I'm talking with him. His name is Albert Martinez. And halfway through the conversation, he goes, you don't know me, do you? I'm like, no, your name's Albert. He goes, do you have any affiliation with the Foursquare? I said, no. He goes, do you know anybody here? I said, one pastor that invited me to come. I said, that's it. He goes, so you really don't know who I am? I'm like, no. He goes, well, I'm on the National Board of Advisors for the Foursquare. We did a workshop with him back in, oh, when was that? September, October, near Omaha. Filled up that trailer with almost $8,000 worth of product, and I found out. Well, I didn't go over the limit on the springs, but I think I was really close. A rough ride, and we helped a church plant, and that church plant with the product we gave them did 3 outreaches Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, had their opening of their church on that following Saturday, or that Saturday, that same Saturday night. So in that whole week, they had over 200 people in their first service. All of them came because of product that they gave out from Convoy of Hope. He called me. He was telling me about all those things. He goes, Scott, he goes, and this was like all last week. He was flying to California on Monday. He goes, Scott, I'm going to California. He goes, we have a national advisory board meeting. He goes, and I am talking about you. I said, talk about Convoy of Hope. He goes, no, I'm talking about you. He goes, I trust you. He goes, I believe in what you're doing. He goes, and our denomination is going to know about it. And he goes, and we're going to try to do something nationally with Rural Initiatives Convoy of Hope. I think, God, why me? Why me, Lord? I'm an ex-drug dealer from Michigan. Ex-alcoholic. Why me? I haven't got that answer, but here's what I know. God will entrust to those who are willing and faithful. And I try the best I can. I've made lots of mistakes, right, Arvin? Come on, you can say it. We both know I did. I made some mistakes. Come on, I made them. You've been here long enough, you know I made some mistakes, but I owned them. I owned every one of them, and I tried to do better next time. God is doing a great work. In the midst of all the despair and the gloom of the church, God is doing a great work, and he's not done. We have set goals for 23 for us. We want to work with 75 churches this year, and honestly, I think I undercut that. We'll see what happens. I haven't heard from Albert yet with a Foursquare, but we leave here to be gone for a week. Shar wants to do a driving vacation to see all of her children, as many as we can. So we're putting out about 2,500 miles these next 7 days. So pray for us. So I'll talk to Albert probably after I get back. But our goal is to work with 75 new churches. And my goal was to move $500,000 worth of product through our Burlington warehouse. But now that, by the way, the Michigan warehouse, don't tell anyone. That hasn't been released. You're the first church gets to hear this. But our goal now is to move close to $1 million worth of product out of those two warehouses. And the one in Michigan's not going to open up until probably June. And so we're believing God for great things. And here's why I want to make sure. I mean, this update of what we're doing is part of what we're talking about the church. But most importantly, I want you to know, because not because you're family, and that's important, and you. Because you support missions, you support us. New Sharon Assembly God supports us financially every single month. When you give to missions, you're supporting us. So these numbers are not just Char and my numbers, they're our numbers. When you give, you send us. You help us to go do these things. You help me to get into United Methodist Church and to preach truth. You help me to go to church plants to give them product. Totally free. We don't charge. We're just free. We ask them to cover the gas, what it cost me to get there. That's all I ask. And sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. I went to Winchester, Illinois on Wednesday, and loaded up that semi-load. I don't know, there's probably about $6,000 worth of product on it, and I took it to this little old church. This lady's just trying to do her best in there, trying to revitalize this church, and God told me, he's like, if she offers you a check, turn it down. And I'm like, that's gas money, Lord. And so she did, and she offered me a check, and I said, Cindy, put it away. She's like, what? She goes, we're really doing good right now, Scott. She goes, we can afford to do this. I said, good. Put it away, because maybe the next load you can't. And maybe I can't say no. Maybe next time I say, I need that gas money. I don't know. But right now, we're good. Put it away. And so, and she is, they've opened up a women's home right next to the church. Her and her husband bought a house next to the church. And they have like recovering women addicts come in, and they're mentoring them. They're loving on them. They're discipling them. They're doing an amazing job. And you get to be part of that. So I love coming into churches that support us and share what you are doing. That's for Jesus, because he's done it all. Because I guarantee you, it's not me. I'm just following. I'm just following the best I can. And it, but it, I will say this, it's fun. It's fun. I had a pastor back in January or December came in, and we were loading up his trailer with all the stuff. And this is like probably a week before Christmas. And he goes, Scott, he goes, you're a missionary, right? I said, yeah. He goes, you get paid, right? I said, well, yeah. I said, you know, I made more as a pastor, you know, but, you know, yeah, we get paid. Our needs are met. We're doing good. And he goes, who pays you? I said, we have friends, supporters, and churches. I said, mostly friends and churches. We're only 5% covered by churches. The other 95% are friends and family. Most missionaries are like 50-50 now. It used to be like 80% church, 20% friends and family. But it's changing now. We are 95% supported by friends and family. It's amazing. He goes, you're a missionary. You give things away. You get paid. He goes, so basically, you're just a paid Santa Claus. And I'm like, yes. That's a good analogy. Yes. I'm fat, happy still, and yes, I get to give things away. Love it. So in the midst of all this doom and gloom, there's great things happening, and here's what I believe, and that's why I believe that God gave to me to share with us today and here in this moment. God is preparing the church for something greater than we could ever imagine or expect. You want to know why? Because God has equipped the church with everything it needs to be successful. He has. Look, I'm going to read the scripture again because it's so important that you grasp this, because Paul was writing this to the church of Ephesus. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Past tense, he's already given it to you. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Everything you need, you have. So stop saying what we can't do and start looking at what you can do. Come on, church. Stop having that we're dead, we can't do anything mentality. You have everything you do to meet the needs of your community. And if you run out, call me. I got some more supplies for you. I'll bring them, Terry. I'll load up that semi. You got the room? I'll bring it. But more importantly, not only do you have the physical needs, you have the spiritual needs that you have to reach your communities. Every blessing has been given to you, has been given to you. You're not in need at all. Have you ever thought about that? We live in a country where we always feel like we don't have what we need, but yet this scripture says we have everything we need. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You have everything you need as a church, as a person, as a believer in Jesus Christ to do whatever God leads you to do. If God leads you to do something, he will never lead you to failure. Your wrong choices maybe will lead to failure. But when God leads you and he has gone before you and he is leading you and you're following in his footsteps, you will never fail. Never. We say, well, Scott, you know, we've had these things happen. Listen, sometimes there's bumps in those roads to prepare us and to help us and to teach us. I haven't done this a long time. Amen, Scott. That's good preaching. Come on. Are you still Pentecostal? I'm telling you right now, just throwing this out there, that UMC church was a little more lively than you guys this morning. Come on. You have everything you need to reach the lost in your community. Come on. Listen to what he says next. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith, you have strong faith. You want to know why? Because you have been able to bore through, plow through every single obstacle that Satan has thrown at this church, and you're still open. You're not another stat.
That's right, Brian. Praise God.
Come on. It's time to get excited. It's time to do something. Strong faith. I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight that you may grow in your knowledge of God. There is no plateau for Christianity. If you think you know everything about God, you better recheck that list. If you think that your relationship with God is plateaued, you better get on your knees and repent. You better get on your knees and ask God, because God says, I will show you something new. My mercies are new every morning. God says, I will show you the secret things. There are things of God that we have not learned yet. There are things that God has not revealed to you yet. I've been walking with him 30 years, and he still never ceases to amaze me. So you think you've seen everything from God? You better hold on, because you haven't seen nothing yet. God wants you to grow in your knowledge and wisdom of him. And he says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he has called. Stop living without boldness. Stop walking this Christian life as a timid Christian. I'm not calling you out and trying to challenge you to be a Bible thumper. I am not a Bible thumper unless I'm behind this pulpit. Because God's word is absolute truth, it's powerful, and we need to read it like that, accept it like that, apply it like that. But when we go out and to try to reach a community that wants nothing to do with God, we have to make sure that we are gentle. Because if we try to beat the word of God into them, they're going to beat you. That's the society we live in today. Maybe physically, maybe verbally, maybe spiritually, I don't know. But listen, they need to see the power of God in you. They need to see the joy of God in you. They need to see the love of Jesus in you. And when they ask about the word of God, then you share. Because then when they ask about God, that means that you've built a relationship of trust. And they're willing to listen. Listen, if you're not being gentle and loving and caring and compassionate, you know, to those people that we say we want to reach, they're not going to listen. You'll never have an open door. The heart will never be soft. Listen, there's so many people in this. When you want to know why those numbers are the way they are, it's because the church caused it. Oh, no amens there, huh? Come on. It's true. You know, all those hurt feelings, and you say, well, there's a bunch of hypocrites in those churches. That's true also, but hey, you know what? Let's own it when we mess up. Apologize when we mess up. Apologize when we Bible thump something, because I've done it. So, you know, I've done it to my children. You just need to get right. You know better. Quit making these stupid mistakes. You know what? I'm building walls up with my kids. Instead of asking questions, why did you choose to do that? Did you think the outcome would be what it is? You know what? If I go back with parenting again, I think I'd maybe make half the mistakes I did. Maybe. I don't know. You know? We'll see. But we need to be bold, and you know, because God has given us that boldness, because that boldness comes when we know him. That's why it says, you know, grow in your knowledge. When we know him, we can be bold. We can be spiritually bold. Verse 19, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms, now is far above all authority, ruler, or anything else, not only but in this world and this world to come. And another scripture says, the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And then Jesus, I love one of my favorite passages. Oh my goodness. John 14:12. Jesus says, you will do greater things than I. Why aren't we seeing it? Because we're not living this out. We don't believe it enough to live it. We don't believe it enough to live it. And then back to verse 22 again. God has put all things under authority of Christ, has made him the head over all things for the benefit of the church. The church is not in need. The church has everything it needs. I guess the church is in need. The church is in need of committed believers, faithful believers, gentle believers, bold believers, obedient believers, being willing to do whatever God asks us to do. God, I can retire in New Sharon. Move on. God, I can retire in Burlington. Move on. I'm not going to say I can retire working for Convoy Hope anymore. It's not even a conversation. I don't even work for Convoy Hope. I'm a representative. I'm still a U.S. missionary. I'm still credentialed with the Assemblies of God. I'm a U.S. missionary with the Assemblies of God. And then I'm a representative of Convoy Hope. I have this triple umbrella. Well, quadruple if you count Jesus, right? I have this amazing covering that I get to represent. You have this amazing covering that you get to represent. You're an attender member of New Sharon Assembly God, but the bottom line is you're a child of the Most High King. The church as a whole looks very bleak, right? I mean, I'm not going to share those numbers, but it is. And it's because the church has not grasped the scripture that God has given all these things to us. Every blessing, spiritual wisdom and insight to know the knowledge of God, confident hope, boldness, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That God is in full control. He is over every ruler, authority, dominion, everything in this world and worlds to come. God is sovereign. It means he controls everything except us because he's given us free will. And that's good and bad, isn't it? Because many places and many people in churches today, their free will is like, I don't want to live in absolute truth. I don't want to hear absolute truth. I don't want to do what God's asking me to do because it's difficult. It's uncomfortable. Why would I do that? Because God said so. It's not that he's a rules and authority God, but God knows what's best for us. Right? Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth, right? If we do this, our life is so much better. I know there's some faithful people in here that, you know what, if you go back and change some things, so it's like God asked you to do this, you're like, no, I'm going to do this. It wasn't good for you, was it? The outcome, right? Man, I could probably list off 10 things I wish I'd go back and change, at least, okay? Yeah, it's just last year. But God is patient with us. And his word says, he who began the good work will see it through. In 2005, I was as green as they came as a pastor. Now I'm just light green. I'm a work in progress. But here's what I know. God is still on the throne. Even when I make mistakes, he is on the throne. He will take that mistake and say, okay, little detour, but we're going to get there. We're going to refocus. We'll take. You know what? You decided to take a bumpy path, but it's bumpy, but we'll still get there, right? But we keep, and sometimes even the road that he wants is bumpy because he wants us to learn something. But listen, the church isn't dead. We need to trust him. There's still a great hope for the church today and for the world. God wants nothing more than New Sharon and the surrounding communities, Mahaska County. God's word says that he don't want any to perish, but all come to the saving grace of Jesus. Right? None to perish. That's God's will. That's God's desire. The church, the body of Christ, needs to grab the scripture and understand that God has given you everything to benefit you, your community, the church, everything. Our time is short. I don't know when it is. It could be tomorrow. Oh, come Lord Jesus. Come on, right? It could be another 50 years. We have work to do. He has work for us. And he wants nothing more than to empower you. I love what Paul said in Corinthians. He says, I've been renewed in one place. Another place, he goes, I've been restored. In another place, he says, I've been refreshed. And he says, I want to be filled by the power of the Lord. In Collier translation, on a daily basis. That's why he said to die to yourself daily. Because if you die to yourself daily, he will renew you. This song is so amazing. Liz sent me the playlist, I don't know, like Wednesday or something like that, and I kind of glanced at it, forgot all about it. And then, you know, yesterday I'm preparing this message, and then this morning I come in, and I'm hearing all these songs. I'm like, God, you are amazing how you put all this in place. Because the devil has stole the church, and he wants us to storm the gates of hell and take it back. He does. But it takes the body of believers to come together united and say, you know what, we're not going to stand for this anymore. But here's what we need. We need to be renewed. We need to be refreshed. Maybe we need to be restored. Or maybe you just need to be filled for the first time. There's nothing better than to draw close to the Savior. Oh Lord, send revival and start it in me. Revive me, Lord. Definition of revival is to take something that's dead and make it alive again. Sometimes I think, I was praying about this. I'm like, Lord, I'm not dead. So how can I be revived? Right? Because the medical, my daughter's a nurse, right? You can't revive something that's not dead. You'll kill them. Right? You try to shock a heart that's beating, you'll kill them. So I'm asking God, we talk about God, send a revival. What are you saying? If revival is to bring us something that's dead back to life again, how's that work for us that we're followers of Jesus Christ? You know, God, we want to see revival. We want to experience revival. Here's what it is. God, we need to be renewed, restored, refreshed, filled, or refilled again so that we can go out and share what he has given us. So the dead will become to life. The spiritually dead will come to repentance. That's what a revival is. When God has been moving in Asbury and all these other communities, some people say, oh, Asbury's not a true revival because it's a UMC church. People are getting saved, people. I don't care what the name of it is. Well, there's been a homosexual leading worship. Well, maybe God just started planting the seed. Maybe God's just starting to soften that heart. And maybe that time of true repentance, not just yet. So stop judging what you don't know. Ooh, it got quiet. Little button, right? We should never judge when someone turns their life over to Jesus because we don't know the story. I'm an absolute truth preacher. I believe all the Bible. When God says it's sin, it's sin. But I am not judge. I am not convictor. I am not him. I need to love them where they're at and trust that he is working in them. That will mess up some theologies, will it not? I am not God. I need to love people and trust that he is working in them. So when we say, God, send a revival, I don't care where it is, what it looks like, God, send a revival and refresh us, renew us, restore us so that we can go out and truly see a true revival where lives are being transformed and changed by the power of God, not by us. That's a true revival. When God is doing it and we don't understand. Oh, come on now. 2008, we saw that here. Again, I made some mistakes through that, but it was a true revival because we had, I don't know if you guys remember this, we had 16 weeks straight where we baptized people. That's a revival. Oh God, send it again. There's stories of New Sharon Assembly, God, way back before our day where there were a fire above this building and people were walking in, so there's a fire. Yes, it's the fire of God. I remember those stories. I wasn't here. But, oh, God, send revival again. Do it new. Do it fresh. Do it now, oh, God. Time is short. God, we need you. And God has benefited the church with everything we need to see it come to fruition. God is doing it, but he needs us. He needs us to commit to it. Oh, God, use me. Oh, God, change me. Oh, God, help me not to be the same person I was when I came in. God, enlighten me to do something different today. Help me, God, not just to be an attender. God, help me to be a believer that follows you. Right? Listen, I don't know where you're at. Some of you, I don't even know. He's like, who is this crazy preacher that gets excited? I'm the same, you know what I mean? But we serve a God that's all powerful. And I want nothing more than to see God move again. I have family members. I have children running from God. I have a sister running from God. I have friends running from God. And I'm sure you have those same things. Listen, God, renew me, refresh me, restore me so that you can use me. Do you want to see your family changed? Change me first, God. It's my cry. God, change me. Use me, oh God. I know Tim said there's going to be an offering, but this is a moment. I could care less about the offering. This is a moment that's more important. Because I believe this is a moment that God ordained. And what you choose to do with it can mean the outcome, an eternal outcome for people you know, your loved ones, that I can't reach, but you can. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you're feeling dry, broken, used up, and you just haven't had a fresh experience of God in a long time, and you need to say, God, I need some renewal. I need refreshed. I need to be restored. I want a fresh touch from the Father. If that's you this morning, right now, get up, come. That's it. If you want something new from God, you want to experience the presence of God, you need empowerment of God, just get up and come on up as they lead us in worship. Lord, as people are coming up and preparing our hearts for worship, preparing to hear from you, oh Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak to us, oh God, and do a new work in us. Change us, oh God. May we never be complacent. May we never be like the church, Lord, the lukewarm church. We said, I'd rather see you cold than lukewarm, because I'd rather spit you out. So, oh God, set us on fire. May we be so inflamed with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we just can't contain it. What you put in our bellies, may it be a river of life just flowing out of us, oh God. May we see and experience something new today, Lord. Do it in us. Do it in this place, oh God. Do it in us, Lord. Do it in this place. In Jesus' name.